and others that I'm sure that you all have in your family, friends. So just remember all of this. Turn your Bible, Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter 12. You all know what tomorrow is? Yeah, besides Thursday. You all sharp, aren't you? Anything special supposed to happen tomorrow? I don't even know what that is, so I'm going to take your word for it. You watch the weather? Anybody watch the weather? They're giving a bunch of snow coming through here. More, I don't know if up in here, but more south down close to where I am. They're giving up to 8 inches of snow. And so as I was thinking about that, and I heard so many people, they talking about what they've got to do. Debbie, she said, we got to get wood in because it's going to get cold and it's going to get wet, so we got to get some firewood in. So we'll have wood to burn. It's going to be cold for the next week, and we got to do this. And everybody's just making plans for this snow that's fixing to hit. Or they are at home. I don't know if they are. I don't even know if you all are going to get any snow or not. But if you like snow, just come visit and you can hang out with us and enjoy it while we're enjoying it at home. But as I was thinking about that, you know, a lot of people make preparation for things in this life, don't they? You know, we just got through the holiday season, and if I ask you, I said, what did you do the 2 or 3 days before Christmas? And I'm sure if I ask all of the ladies, they'd say, well, we probably had to get our meals together and cook and get ready for the family coming over. And you're adding a lot of preparations to get ready. They wrap the gifts and all this stuff. And so I just sit back and watch everybody work, and I enjoy just watching. But, you know, there's things in our life we make preparation for, don't we? A lot of different things. You get ready for vacation, you plan months ahead. You got to make reservation for a motel. If you're staying in a motel, you make a reservation to rent a car, make reservation for plane tickets, whatever you might be going to do, or make reservation just to stay at home and enjoy being at home. But we all make preparations for a lot of things in our life, don't we? But tonight I want us to talk about preparation, not in this life or for this life, but for life to come. And that's where I think a lot of people are missing out today. They're living for the things of this world and not for the things of eternity. And so as we look here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, I want to read just a few verses here. It says there that, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I'll make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to be in your house tonight. We're thankful for each one that's here. And Lord, I pray as we go through your word tonight and as we read from your word and hear from you through your word and through your spirit, that you will help us to see that there's things more important than this life. And that's the things that are waiting for us when this life's over, for your children. All those that are born again, that know that heaven's their home, they've had a changed heart, and they're prepared for the things of eternity. And Lord, I pray for most of all for those that don't know thee as that personal Savior. And even tonight, if someone's here that's not sure, that don't even know that salvation's about or what being born again's about, I pray that you'd even work in their lives now as we go through this service. And all these things, we want to just step aside and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. As we look here, God came to Abram. This was when his name was still Abram. And he looked in verse number 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He said, Abram, I've got a special calling for you, and I want, this is what I want you to do. Now, if you go back and read, and I'll not take time to read in chapter 11, where he was at, where he lived, where he grew up, and his fathers and forefathers and ancestors, take time to read that and give you some background for this. But he says, this is what I want to do. He says, I want to take you into a land that I will show thee. So he was telling Abram, he said, Abram, I need you to make some preparation to get to a place that I've got waiting for my people. And he says, I want to show you this land. And Abram's probably thinking, you know, I don't know what Abram was thinking, but I've been a lot of places and I've had people tell me, Randy, you ought to see this place. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. And it may be, I don't know. But I try to imagine what it might look like. Have you ever done that? Somebody tell you about something and you get there and it's nothing like what you thought it'd be. You know, same way with people. You know, I hear somebody's voice, I talk to them on the phone, I'm going to meet them for the first time. Most of the time, they're nothing like what I expect. I expect them to be tall and dark-headed, and they're short and bald. You know, they're totally opposite what I expect. And so here, God told Abram, he says, I'm going to show you a land that I'm preparing and that I want you to make preparations to go and to get to this land. And it says, in thee, he says in verse 2, and he says, I will make, through you, Abram, I'm going to make a great nation. Well, now, Abram, if he had not made some preparations to get ready to do what God was going to tell him, this possibly would have never happened. Or it wouldn't have happened, not with Abram anyway. And so the same way with you and I, we as God's people, God's wanting us to make preparation to serve him, to do what he asks us to do. And if we sit right here and do absolutely nothing, if we don't make preparations, and I want us to get into some of the preparation that he's talking to his people here in a minute. If we do not do what he has asked us to do, make preparations to go, I noticed downstairs before service, they had these folders, and they were putting papers in them, and they were putting colored pencils in them. I assume for some classes. I don't know what they were for, but they had some pictures on them of Bible characters and so forth. So I assume they're going to use them in some of the kids' classes. Well, if somebody didn't put that together, didn't put the papers in there, didn't put the colored pencils in there, and do all the preparation, those things would never happen. Is that right? So if we don't make preparation to do what God asks us to do, we'd never get nothing done. And who knows who would miss out on hearing the gospel as a result. So we, as God's people, God wants us to make some preparations. And so here God was telling Abram, he says, I'll make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I'm going to bless you, Abram, for doing what I ask you to do, for making those preparations. And he says, I will make your name great. And not only that, but you're going to be a blessing to others. Now, I think as God's people, when we're obedient to God and we're going and serving and doing what he's asked us to do, make preparations to go and do what he's asked us to do, we are a blessing to others. You say, well, how can we be a blessing to others? Because we're able to help. You know, when Christ was here upon this earth, his ministry while he was here was to go around teaching people, helping them. Physically, he healed them. He met their needs with food if they needed it, with water, whatever the needs may be. He was a blessing to the people that were around him. And you know, you and I can do the same thing as God's people. We can be a blessing to those people that are around us every day of our life if we will do so, if we make preparation. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Have you made preparation to be a blessing to others? It's just not something that's going to fly and hit us in the face. We have to prepare to serve God. You say, well, what do you mean have to prepare to serve God? There's things in God's Word he tells us we need to do. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to be faithful. If we're not willing to do some of the simple things, then we can't be used of God. But it takes preparation from you and I to be able to serve God the way he wants. But he also says, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You and I can be a great blessing to this world if we'll allow God to use us. If we'll make preparation and take time to do what God has asked us to do. You know, it's easy to get up of a morning, the alarm clock goes off and you hit snooze and you forget to, and you get up late. Now, I've been there, I know. And you say, well, it's good to take time to read from God's Word early in the morning before you get started in your day. And it is. I believe that's the best time myself. Because usually through the day, if you do it of the evening, I found this to be true. If you do it of the evening, well, you get home from work or whatever you've been doing. You get home and you sit down and say, well, I'm gonna get me a cup of coffee. I'm going to sit here in my recliner. I'm going to study God's Word. And you get your coffee and set it on the end table, and next thing you know, you're sound asleep. That happens. Or you sit down, you open your Bible, and here comes the grandkids. And the kids. And the other grandkids. And the other kids. The uncles and the aunts. There's always something that'll happen. So we have to make preparation and figure out what's going to work to be able to do what God wants us to do. And take time to do that. And so we see here, God told Abram, he says, you need to make preparation because I'm going to use you in a great way. And you know, who knows what God would do with us today if we would just take time, make preparation to be used of God. It's untelling what he could do. You say, well, we're just a small group. We can't have that big an impact. Oh, yeah, we can. Abram was one individual. And look what happened through one man. And others throughout the Bible read of individuals, one person, how it changed great impacts of history. And so we need to be making preparation as God's people every day, prepare to serve God for that day and for the future. And so we look later as we think about the history of Abram and how he was obedient to God, and he went to Egypt, or went to there, and then he ended up in Egypt for 400 years. Some have said 430. The whole thing was 430, but it was 400 years while he was there. But then he finally, his people, through the descendants, not Abram, but the descendants, and we get into Exodus chapter number 3. And the preparation was made by Abram, by Abraham. And he was obedient to God and did what God said to do. And now we're in Exodus chapter number 3. And we see because of the preparation, God we get to the Israel, he had prepared Israel, his people, through Abraham. And now we're to Exodus chapter 3, and we come to where God comes to Moses on the mountain in the burning bush. And we read down, and we'll go down to verse 7. It says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Now keep in mind, God put them there because of the famine, and because of that's where he needed them to be for the 400 years. And so he says, and I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. Make masters, for I know their sorrows. In verse number 8 it says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up into that land. Remember what God told Abram? He says, I've got a land that is prepared. I'm prepared for you. I'm getting it ready for you and your descendants and their descendants, my people, nation Israel. And he says, Moses, what I told Abram, I'm telling you, go and I bring them out of the land, that Egypt, that land, into that land, a good land. Man, it was a nice piece of property. Any of you ever went and looked at property you was interested in buying, and you said, man, that's a good piece of property. That's a good land. Or you've looked at some and said, man, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for that piece of property. But this was what God was going to bless Israel with. A land unlike anywhere in the world. I don't know what it looked like then. I don't think it's probably what it looked like today. But it was a good land. He says, and it's a large land. large piece of property. And he says, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to have everything that you need to sustain my people, to help my people to live and to grow and to continue on. He says, I've got it waiting for you. But Moses, you've got to get my people out of Egypt, and you've got to get them and take them to that land. So Moses began to think, man, this is a big undertaking. And have you ever been a God come to you and say, this is what I want you to do specifically? I hope he's come to you individually with something specific he wants you to do. He has me many times. And there's been times I think, man, this is going to take a lot of work. This ain't something that's just going to happen overnight. Well, that's where preparation comes in. Sometimes we have to make preparation to be able to do what God wants us to do. And so we see here, God had prepared, and he had this land prepared for his people. And we see there that he says it's inhabited by a lot of people, but don't let that bother you. And sometimes he wants us to do things that might be intimidating to us, thinking, well, I've never done that before. Well, I can't do that. God, you don't know what you're asking. That's more than I can handle. But God says, if you'll prepare and let me work, I can do great things through you. And he can do it through us today if we'll let him. But it takes preparation sometimes. It's just not going to happen overnight. I can remember the first time that church, this has been many years ago, come to me and ask me if I'd start teaching the youth at our church. This was back in, me and Debbie, not long after we married. And I said, man, I've never taught before. I can't do that. They said, yeah, you can. Our pastor, he said, yeah, you can. Just take it for a little while. And boy, a little while turned into years. You know, but it takes preparation. You can't just get up and stand up and try to teach and share. Expect people to listen and to grow. It takes preparation. And you and I today, for us to be able to serve God, it takes preparation. And we're going to have to get serious with God if we're going to continue on serving God in this world. As we talked about, you know, making preparation for things in this world, just like fixing for Christmas dinners, it takes time. It ain't just, some people, I guess you could call the chicken house and tell them, just bring our dinner for us. We won't have to fix it for us. It's a lot easier. Yeah, you could do that, I guess. And there's things we could do serving God. We could make excuses and find other avenues to do it. But we're going to miss out on blessings. We're going to miss out on things that God's got for us as his people. We need to be making preparations for serving God. And so we see here God had a place prepared for his people. And he told Moses, he said, Moses, I need you to get my people. I need you to lead my people to this place that I've got waiting for. And so Moses began to make excuses. But he finally gave in and said, yeah, I'll do it. And so we see later on, he went in chapter 5, he went to Pharaoh. And he told him there in verse 1, he says, this is what God has told me. Pharaoh, let my people go. God said to let my people go. And he had prepared, God had prepared Moses. Moses began to prepare himself, I think, in some ways, to go to Pharaoh. This was not an easy undertaking, you know. The Pharaoh that we read about here, if you go back in Genesis and read about the 400 years they were in Egypt, this is a different Pharaoh now. Things weren't the same as they were back when they lived in Egypt. This was a Pharaoh that didn't know who God's people were, didn't know who Abraham was, didn't know who Isaac was, didn't know some of those the forefathers of Israel. Got a new guy ruling. He could care less about them people. And we read about there in the first part of Exodus how he treated the people and what he did. And so now Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he said, God said, I want you got to let my people go. And so Pharaoh wouldn't do it. We know the story of that. But God had continued on. God had a place prepared for his people. And he had an avenue or a path or a way prepared to get his people there. If you go over in chapter 13, in verse number 21, it says, "The Lord went before them by day," and after they left Egypt and they were on their journey, he said, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, by night in a pillar of fire, and to give them light and to go by day and night." God had made preparations long before they ever left, getting ready, make sure that the path was clear for them to travel. He gave them light to travel of a night. He gave them clouds so it wasn't unbearably hot of a day. And he made the path straight. And when they got to the Red Sea, what did he do? He parted the waters so that they could go across on dry land. God made preparations for their whole journey before they ever, I believe, ever left Egypt. And you and I, that we as God's people, we've got to make preparation to be able to serve God the way he wants us to serve him. We can't do this haphazardly. I think sometimes we've been doing it too casual, way too long. God wants us to get serious about it. Somebody said the other day, he said, "Well, I believe 2022 is going to be the year the Lord comes back." Every year somebody predicts this is the year the Lord's coming back. He may do it. He may do it before this year much more than even get started. I don't know. But you know, whether he comes or not, we're still to serve God. We're still here for one reason as God's people, and that's to serve him. If you go back in chapter 8, I believe it is, verse number 1, he told, there again, Moses is before Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, he said, this isn't the first or the last time he told him these things. He said, the Lord said, let my people go. For what reason? Pharaoh's probably saying, okay, Moses, why should I let all these people go? Look what he said, that they may serve me. He told Pharaoh, God told me to tell you to let God's people go so that they can go to this land promised that God has prepared for them, so that they can serve him. And you and I today, we need to be telling others about a man named Jesus so that they can be making preparation now so that they can start serving God. And one day, when this is all over, whether the Lord comes back this year or sometime in the far future, when all this world is gone and it's all burned up, and when eternity begins, all we're going to do is serve God. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise God for what he's done for us. And my friend, we need to be making preparation now for that time that's coming. You say, "Well, Brother Randy, how is a child of God? We've made preparations. I've been born again. I've asked Christ in my heart. He's forgiven me of my sins." That's awesome. And I'm thankful for that. I pray everyone here tonight knows that heaven's their home when this life ends for each and every one of us. But while we're here, we need to make preparations for the time we get there. You say, "Well, what do you mean make preparations? I thought all we had to do is believe." That's true. To get there, that's all you have to do is trust and believe the Lord is your personal Savior. But he's left us here for a reason. If all it was to get to heaven, why not take us out as soon as we get saved? Why leave us here to go through this miserable life? But he's left us here for a reason, to tell others. The Bible says for us to lay up treasures in heaven. What do you think those treasures are? Is it to accumulate things in this life? Absolutely not. Laying up treasures in heaven is those that you share the gospel with, that come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, that you've had a great impact in their life. That's treasures we lay up in heaven. Nothing's going to touch them. And you just say, "Well, what are those treasures for?" Well, one day I believe, according to the Word of God, that we're going to give an account for our lives. We're going to stand before our Heavenly Father. And I believe then, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And those treasures that we've accumulated here, that we can take and lay them at His feet and say, "Lord, this is all I've got, but I did it for You." Why should we not make preparation for times like that? I want to read. Let's go into Revelation. Before I go there, let me read back in Genesis chapter 12. If I can find it. Verse 7 goes on when God was talking to Abraham. He said, verse 7, said, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land." I'm going to give this land I'm talking about, that I'm going to show you about. This is yours. And now you remember over in Deuteronomy, after Moses had led the people to the promised land, but he wasn't allowed to go in. Remember the story, all the problems he had. Chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, verse number 4, it says, "And the Lord said unto him," unto Moses. This is where Moses, he took him up on the mountain so that he could look over into that land and see it with his eyes, but he wasn't allowed to go there. He said, "This is the land. Moses, this is what I've been telling you about. This is the land that I promised my people. This is what I wanted you to be working for and preparing for, getting my people to this land." And you and I today, we're supposed to be preparing our lives along with others for that land one day that we're going to be able to inherit. And that's a place called heaven. Now, in Revelation, I'll show you, and then I'm going to close. I didn't go anywhere near what I wanted to, but Revelation chapter 21. John was writing here, and he says in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." He says, "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." There's no more sea. Then in verse 2 it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared." It was made ready before we ever got there. "Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." My friend, we've got something great waiting for us as His people. We need to start making preparation for that time. Not that we can earn anything and do anything to get it. It's already ours. But I want to start getting ready for that. Somebody gives me something in this life and it's absolutely free, but I don't get it for a little while. Boy, I want to start making preparation for it. I want to start getting ready for it. If I know it's coming, boy, I'm going to make sure whatever day it is, I got nothing else on my schedule because I don't want to miss out. My friend, we need to start making preparation for what John saw. He literally saw these things. And he says, "I'm going to be with God and God's going to be with me forever." And then in verse number 4, he says, "And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes." My friend, this place we're going to is unlike anything we can even imagine. Unlike anything I've seen or heard or even thought about. I can't even comprehend what heaven's going to be like. It's far better than anything I've ever dreamed or ever seen. Going to wipe away all tears. I like some of these things. There'll be no more death, no more separation. My mate, we lose our loved ones and our friends in this life. Week, monthly, yearly. I mean, they just pass on. That's part of life. But one day when we get to heaven, we're never going to be separated anymore. It's eternity. Forever and ever. And he says, there'll be no more death, neither sorrow. Look what's waiting for us. God's got some things prepared for us, and we need to start getting ready for it. I tell you what, since back in September, October, when I had was sick and in the hospital, well, I had a lot of time on my hand. I didn't see her for 2 weeks. I didn't see the nurses about twice a day. They was afraid to even come in the room, I think. I remember one, the male nurse, he come in. I saw him 2 or 3 times. He come in. He had one of the masks on. He had gloves up to here. He had a robe on, and that cinched around him. And then he had like one of these face shields, like you weld with or something. I mean, there was nothing getting to him. And I saw him twice. I felt like a loner. I mean, nobody came and saw me. It was lonesome. But I tell you what, God opened my eyes to a lot of things. We're here for a short time. As Christ says, I must be about my Father's business. You and I, as God's people, we don't have tomorrow, promise of tomorrow. We don't have a lot of time to waste. We've got loved ones that are on their way to hell. We've got friends and coworkers and people we don't even know that are dying, going to hell every day. But John saw some beautiful things waiting. I believe when he saw them, I believe he was getting ready for it. He's making preparation. And he says there, no more sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Wow. This is some awesome things to think about. I saw Paul's finger. He showed me his finger. That hurt just to think about what he'd done to his finger. I'm not a pain guy. I hate pain. But one day I ain't going to have to worry about no more pain. Because we're going to live in heaven. It says the former things are passed away. Things we have now, they're going to be gone. We ain't going to even think about them anymore. We're not going to care about them anymore. My friend, we got some great things waiting for us as God's people. And we need to start making preparation for it. Getting ready for it. Because it's coming. You know, I've heard that for 60 years now. Well, not however long I could old enough to hear and understand. Been many years. Ever since I was a kid, I've heard preaching, Lord's coming back, Lord's coming back, Lord's coming back. And he is. And we need to be ready. We need to make preparation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. And we're thankful for what you've done so many years ago on the cross of Calvary. You died for our sins. He was buried, resurrected. And Lord, you're in heaven today for us. Getting things ready, making preparations. You've done everything for us. Lord, I pray that we as your people start getting ready for the time you call us home. Making preparations, doing all we can to share the gospel with others around us. So that they too can have what we read about, the glories of heaven, for all eternity. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.